The viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its license holder, or its staff. You are listening to WRUU LP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM. Hello, and welcome to Taking the Journey Together. We are your hosts, Craig and Sharon Butts.
Thank you for joining us as we explore interpersonal concerns and problems in dating, cohabiting, and marriage. Our relationship stories come from research and personal testimony. Our main focus is on Black American relationships. However, our expanding world has us reaching out to include multicultural relationships as well.
Now, let's get right into our show. All right. We are starting in our show. It's Saturday for those who listen to us on Saturday. And my name is Mr. Craig Butts. And who else do we have with us today?
And I am Sharon.
We usually have her with us all the time. We host the show of Taking the Journey Together. Isn't that right?
Yes, because we are together.
Yeah, well, we're trying to work on that. Let's say up front, many of us are trying to work on our relationship. It's not always necessarily together, but we're trying to work on our relationship together because that's part of the journey that we want to take. This relationship show is all about trying to apply some principles that we call glues that will move us from having just a survival relationship, but moving to a thriving relationship, which is a relationship that we believe is built on spiritual principles. So today we're going to be talking about one of those spiritual principles, but before we go into it, we're going to ask Sharon to talk a little bit about our what?
Our motto.
Yes. What is our motto, please, ma'am?
Our motto states, we believe we are going to relate to each other. It doesn't matter what our kids say, it doesn't matter what our mom says, our dad says, it doesn't even matter what Jesus says, we are going to relate. Yet, at Taking the Journey Together, we feel we need to relate in a balanced way. And what we mean by the balanced way is on one side, you have the friendship and sharing, and on the other side of the scale, you have the lover and sexual compatibility side.
Yes.
And from that, we get that we can be lovers, but we can't be friends,
mm-hmm.
or we can be friends and we can't be lovers.
Okay.
And I'll marry my friend, my lover, but I won't marry my friend.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay. That does happen a lot in that old school kind of relationship. How can I say it? Setup. Yes. But
yes.
What is it we're trying to move to actually?
What we're trying to move to is a balance to that where your friend, and your lover are one and the same.
So that means we can be a lover and a friend at the same time?
Absolutely.
In a long-term marriage kind of relationship, long-term in marriage? Because sometimes you can have a marriage, but no long-term in it.
Yeah.
But long-term, yeah. But hopefully marriage is part of it. But if it's a long-term partnership, the bottom line is you can have a long-term relationship with someone who are being a friend and also a lover is part of that relationship, huh?
Exactly. And what that means is we have to understand that males and females can actually be friends. It
okay.
does not have to only be a sexual connection.
Well, you know, a lot of times outside of a long-term relationship, we did start out being friends. I remember, what is that? That was kind of funny. I saw something that came up that was kind of funny. Anyway, I do remember that, let's see what I was going to say, that when we were younger, maybe in school, someone of another let's say sex, sent you a little note, and on that little note, when you got that note, and you open it up real quickly or slowly, because you don't want the teachers to see it, it says, would you like to be my friend?
Yes.
Did you ever have that happen?
I did.
You did. You probably got a lot of notes, didn't you?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't get too many notes?
I didn't. I was
a pretty woman like you, probably cute as a button when you were younger. And you didn't get any friend notes?
I got some friend notes, but I was the real quiet one that people didn't know how to approach because I didn't know how to approach them. And so it was that kind of situation. But I got once in a while I got a do you like me? Yes or no? And, you know, that type of thing. And will you be my friend? And, you know, that type of situation, but I didn't get a lot of them.
Well, I would have gave you a couple of notes because I think I would have liked for you to be my friend. I like the quiet ones, really. I did, because I was kind of quiet myself, except for sometimes I was like Charlie Brown, the class of the clown, or clown of the class, one of the two. But deep down inside, even if I did, there was a part of me that still said, homie still didn't play that. But definitely the quiet ones, I definitely had a drawn to. So I would give you a note every day until you finally said, okay, I'll be your friend, or you would have threw it back at me.
I would have been your friend right off the bat. If I had gotten it from you, I would have said, yes, I'll be your friend.
Okay. Well, we're working on that friendship now since it didn't happen then.
Yes.
So what's our word for the day? What's our glue for today? Because we've been talking about so many different references in relationship. In fact, we just finished with what? What did we just finish with?
We just finished with harmony.
Harmony. Mm-hmm. Wow. That harmony means peace, comes from understanding. That doesn't have to mean agreeing. Doesn't mean it has to agree.
Right.
But at the bottom of it, at the motivation of it, is we're trying to be peaceful anyway. That's the end that justifies the means, which is peace, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so what are we going to be talking about today, ma'am? What's our glue today?
Today we are gluing with alliances.
Ooh, wow, alliances. Alliances. When you think about alliances are something like harmony, but not necessarily the same. And we're going to talk about why alliances are not necessarily the same as harmony and peace, even though you could tell alliances have to at least embed itself into harmony.
Yes.
As it does, of course, if we're looking at the whole thing called thriving relationship or unconditional kind of love. Mm-hmm. So we know embed itself or is a family of all of that. But alliances is a little bit different than from what we talked about, harmony. And what are we going to say, first of all, to give somewhat of a good definition of what alliances are, babe?
Alliances have a
have a hard time. This is a hard one, and you know it. It's a hard one. Go ahead.
Mutual benefit. It comes from having the same feeling or doing the same action that will have an advantage for each other.
Okay, try that again.
Having the same feeling,
mm-hmm,
or doing the same action that will have an advantage for each other.
And I know that this is a tough one for you because of cultural conditioning on both of our side as African-Americans. From the standpoint of maybe friendship might be something that we have same feelings of, same things that we're doing because of the fact we're friends. But when we get into that married situation, when we get into that, how can I say, commitment situation of marriage, to death do us part, notice my voice at part, it means, oh no, we ain't about trying to have the same feelings, let alone doing the same thing.
Right. So
got quiet on that one.
I did. I thought you were getting ready to say something.
No. I said what I was supposed to say for that part, sis.
Your body language threw me off.
Oh, okay. Well,
but that's okay. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those hard things, as you say, it's one of those hard things because sometimes you miss the target to a certain extent. You know where you're aiming, what you're aiming for, and you have the best of intentions, but you don't necessarily get all the way there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you fall a little short. When you fall short, then, you know, it's not advantageous for both people. As a matter of fact, it generally isn't advantageous for either one of you. Sometimes it becomes more so for one than the other. But falling short is not one of those things that you need to strive for. Some people just kind of give up and say, well, you know, at least I did something. Something is not good enough.
Yeah. In this case, something is not better than nothing. We're talking about something that's beyond something,
mm-hmm,
because if you read, or in this case heard the first time, we're talking about something that we're not used to and our culture doesn't necessarily connect it with. And especially today with the kind of culture of insensitivity that us against them, them against us, black against white, we have that even in our relationships where I do my thing, you do my thing, and that's how we get along. It in turn leaves out this something that's better than nothing, that's at that next level. That next level in this case is that we are trying to do the same thing.
Right.
The same thing. Same feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That comes out and manifests in the same action. So we have to feel and think the same to be able to then express it in action. And you can see today, that is probably not the most comfortable thing that could come across in relationships. And I'm wondering, looking from your past, as I look from my past as African-American people, did you see much of that operating, much of that same thing, same feelings, when it came to your relationship between either parental guides, mother and father, or just say other relationships that you saw when you grew up?
I think for a lot of it, there were alliances there, but mm-hmm. they were more for the common outcome. And what it was, say, for example, you know, we needed a house to live in.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you want something that is as decent as you can afford. So what happened is, I grew up in an extended family.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandmother stayed home and it was all, and she was like a housewife.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather went out to work. My mother went out to work, and together they were able to make sure we had food. We make sure we had a roof over our heads, make sure we had clothing. My grandmother was the one that took care of my sister and me when we came home from school
mm-hmm.
and until we were ready to go to school. So it was an alliance for the overall purpose of making sure that everybody was able to live as comfortable as their meager incomes could afford.
Okay. So in this particular case, you're talking about an economical reason that they mm-hmm. were looking forward to, moving forward to as part of their purpose in that relationship that had them connect in a togetherness way.
Right.
They may not have worked together. They may not in turn build a business that took work with both of them being together,
right.
But they went to maybe two separate jobs, which I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure they did.
Oh, they did.
And they worked, and that was the same cost. See, that's a good, and that's fine. That's on the survival level.
Exactly.
Now we are talking about the thriving level,
mm-hmm.
that level that says, like example, they are both creating a job in working together. And I'm going to speak from my experience. That was one of the least things I saw with my uncles. I saw with their relationships. I saw with my aunts. When it came to them talking about working with their boyfriends or working with their husbands, there was a nod. There ain't no way
yeah.
I'm working with that hard head whatsoever.
Right.
He gonna mess up what we do. And then when I talked to my uncles, I was like, ain't no way I'm working with my wife, or I'm not working with my girlfriend because she don't want me around anyway, and she ain't gonna never listen to yeah. what I say and what internal I think. So from my experience, I didn't see that kind of alliance whatsoever that was presented to itself when it came to a long-term relationship.
Yeah, and you see the results of that a lot now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for whatever reason, I've always wanted that. I could always see me working with my husband in some kind of, I didn't think far enough ahead of creating a business, but I thought about working together at the same place. And then when I did create a business, I thought, you know, that'd be good if we could do this together.
Mm-hmm.
It never happened, but you know, it still is it's something that we're kind of working on now.
Mm-hmm.
But more you're the creator and I am the associate, I guess you could say, but we have the same common goal in mind.
Well, we're working on that more. I mean, we're definitely yeah. working on it more because you never really came out of that experience. Your
exactly.
own life. And neither did I come mm-hmm. out of that experience. It is more of a function of what you feel in your heart and
right.
your soul. And then as for me, it's something that I always had a blazing passion and knowing that it should always
mm-hmm.
should have been this way.
Yeah.
And we know sometime later on in history, or beyond gone forward in history. Some of the young people loved Jones, loving basketball, and some of them began to, in turn, present that when it came to long-term relationships. We've got to be friends, meaning we have to at least start thinking on the same page, doing the same things together. And so you saw that manifestation come around, mm-hmm. and I believe that it's growing even that much more, and we're trying to make sure that everybody gets on that same train, that same path, that same vein, that friends and lovers in a relationship are the best thing you do and can actually happen in the relationship. So doing that same action at the end that you refer to, having that job, has everything to do with what we said at the end, which is having advantage for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I see with back then, and we'll see what's going on today, many a times the two in that relationships didn't see a vantage out of working together,
right?
Out of thinking together,
right?
Out of connecting together, outside of having kids with one another.
Exactly. And quite
sometimes
often,
I didn't become advantage either because of the fence,
exactly.
The money and the stress. But yeah.
But quite often that was the only area of an agreement, you
yes.
know. Whereas
that's what tradition that was kind of
exactly
passed on. You know that biblical
mm-hmm,
kind of saying,
yeah.
You should be go forth fruitful and multiply,
something yeah.
like that.
But then you end up only on the same page when it comes to the children's needs,
mm-hmm.
and everything else, you know, it's just it's sort of helter skelter getting done. You know, it's dinner time. Okay, everybody's got dinner got food on the table. You can eat. I made it. Let's you know, that's good. Let's move on. And then we sit down and we talk about, well, you know, Johnny's outgrowing his shoes and we gotta figure out a way to get some new shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure out how to get the new shoes, and then I'm reading the paper and, you know, I'm ironing or whatever. And there's no more conversation. There's no more working together.
Yeah. And again, when your cultural conditioning says we can be lovers, but we can't be friends.
Mm-hmm.
We can be friends, we can't be lovers. But certainly if we get into a long-term committed relationship, you can't bring the friendship along with you.
Right.
It's mostly just a lover. And of course, that's other typical one is opposite attracts. So we can see what we're talking right now. If you're operating mostly as opposites, you're not going to be in much alliance or doing
no.
too much of anything,
no.
because you're more about trying to be opposite from another. And we can see when it comes to alliances, you have the same feelings, you are doing the same actions,
yeah.
you are about the purpose of trying to be in unity with one another, in connection to one another. That's the direction you're going. That's the glue you're trying to use when you're upgrading to what I call a thriving relationship.
Exactly. Because with what you were saying about the opposites attract,
mm-hmm.
with that, where alliances are concerned,
mm-hmm.
you get a lot of, I'm doing my thing on both sides,
mm-hmm.
but you don't get any or very much of, we're doing our thing.
Hey, you know, when you think about that, I remember the byproduct of not operating that way when kids would take, our children would take well advantage of that situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know if I say this to dad,
because
mama won't know. I know if I say that to mom, because daddy won't know. Give us an example, because I know you went through the example, because we both, this is our second relationship when it comes to marriage. So give me those kind of example that you know happened.
I had... My daughter was the one that tried that.
Okay.
She tried that all the time. Well, mm-hmm. she didn't try it very long,
mm-hmm.
because, okay, as long as she's been around, I had been around that much longer.
Okay.
And I paid attention to what went on. And so she would do things like, she did it to me once.
Mm-hmm.
She went and asked her dad if she could do something that she knew I was not going to let her do. And then she came back and she says, well, I'm going to do this, whatever it was. And I was like, no, you're not. Well, daddy said I could. I'm like, and still you're not. And so, you know, and then that was the point when I said, we're going to have a talk about this. And so I took her to where he, into the room where he was. And I said, okay, you told her she could do this, but this is what she didn't tell you about that situation. And so that forced us to get on the same page.
Wow. Wow. That is a very good example. I don't know. I had two daughters and one son, and I know this principle was in practice in my first relationship. And I'm telling you, our children play that game all the time. I'm very strong-willed and strong about certain principles that need to be at least presented in the relationship. And the first wife was like, okay, whatever. We just do what we do, and that's how we do it, and that's the best way. It just kind of falls out to be that way. And she came out of a cultural conditioning that, yeah, I'm supposed to follow the male, but not necessarily whatsoever. I'm on the same page. But I know when it came down to it as an African-American relationship, I still really run the show. Because her mom was like that way, to be honest with you, for years. And so there were many times the children just played off of us big time. It seemed like some days they would get up in the morning and say, okay, what game can we play off these two adults to get our way? We know we can't start with dad because either he's going to try to see through it or he has some kind of standard that's too high that we, no, we'll work with mom. She's easier. If we work with mom easier, then she got some more input on dad and somehow in some way we'll get our way. They did that a lot. I know you know what I'm talking about. Many of us, many who are listening to right now, they know that same thing. Now, the key behind this, unless you want to tell some more stories.
No.
Because we got some time to talk about more stories. Example, because I think it just needs to be really drilled in that alliance is a very, so we might have to make that a hot glue. That alliance is so important in thriving relationships of people having that couple, that partner has same feelings and are doing the same actions because that same feelings and that same thoughts, and that it becomes a centerpiece to the relationship, not an afterthought.
Yeah.
Not maybe, you know, in 1965, I remember we went on the same vacation and we felt good about the way we were there.
Yeah.
And that's the only time you ever had
the only memory you have.
Exactly. Yeah. So we see that a lot in our culture, especially from then, at least I grew up. Okay.
Yeah, cool. Or you have those people who... they work all, you know, Monday through Friday, Saturday, they do the honeydew stuff on both sides. And then Sunday, they get in the car together and they go to church. And that's the only time they talk.
Yeah. It might not be much that. It's
exactly.
We're going to go to church today. We're going to say it.
Yeah.
Kids be quiet in the back.
Exactly. On the way to church, you don't hardly say anything. But then on the way back, well, that preacher really did preach today. Well, I didn't think he said much of anything. And there goes the conversation.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know? Sometimes so sad, Sharon, sometimes it's she just going to church with the kids.
With the kids.
And he's back at home.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like, man, that's her thing, and I'm not going to do her thing.
Right, right.
In the first place. That's a sad thing about that. But I wanted to say the missing piece out of that that's very important that we're talking about with that same thing is the fact that many a times, and when we think about it, if in turn I don't have that belief and feeling that we are to be together, we are supposed to be connected, that God has really sanctioned this, or gods, or whatever you may want to say has sanctioned this, and this is a purpose for us to be together, then you can see very easily, same feelings, same thoughts to do something as an action, it's not going to come to pass most of the time. It's just not.
It isn't. It isn't. Yeah. Because under those circumstances, you're doubting yourself. And so if you're doubting yourself, you're doubting the other person, you're doubting the whole connection. And the purpose behind that connection.
Yes, yes. And it's so sad that in the society, because of racism, because I'm thinking about relationship, how it actually leaks and in turn poisons a lot of African-American relations.
Most of them.
Exactly. I mean, we already had that separation, divide and conquer, Willie Lynch syndrome, or when we were separated first from families and wives and kids when we were a slave, and how that mentality of self-hate still rolls down generation after generation, where we have a hard time getting along. And you see the males on many times are demonized from the outside society or even demonized within that particular relationship itself as it been passed on. And therefore that feeling of, can I really like this person at the same time, let alone a loving relationship? Nah, that's just not possible. That just cannot happen. And so the idea that I then should say, think the same way and feel the same way? No, heck no, that's not going to happen. That's impossible for that to happen. And I think the grounds that we're thinking on here, that we hopefully when we come up with some examples as we get near a PSA, is there is not the real understanding, because there's no example, real examples of the advantages,
yes,
that can happen,
yes,
if you say, if you think and feel the same way, the advantages that can happen. And we know historically that's a truth that's been not shown a lot for us people of color, of black folks either, is the fact that we have not seen through radio, through TV, through other medias, the examples of when we work together.
Exactly. And that's one of those things that is always going to be there until we change the script, until we change the narrative, which,
yes,
is one of the things that we're trying to do here, mm-hmm, is change the mindset, put another thought in. If we can pull out that thought of we are supposed to be separate and put in the thought that we are supposed to be together. And once you start contemplating that,
mm-hmm,
then the whole idea of being separate is not going to be as forceful as it had been before.
I like how you say forceful, because I'm thinking real quickly that there's been many sayings from the heroes that we stand on, that if we don't know our history, if we don't know where it came from, that makes you feel comfortable and confident as a human, mm-hmm, being, that you can accomplish struggles. You can accomplish those things in life that are not, always going your way, by seeing some others who have did because of who they were, then you can understand why the thought in your own self or the belief in your own self could be passed down to at the same time, that there's no way this person I'm getting into a connected relationship, a committed relationship, a together relationship, a marriage relationship, there's no way can there be an advantage if we work together.
Mm-hmm.
It just don't happen. It can't happen. I have been told psychologically that I don't really belong here as a human being on earth anyway.
Right.
So therefore, why would I think this other person who's not like a human being is going to be able to connect with me as a human being? And we really work together to do something. Now,
right,
that might be a little too deep, maybe. Maybe I'm kind of being a conspiracist, whatever you may want to call it. But what's your thought about that?
No, and I can agree with that. And one of the reasons why I can agree with that is because as you were talking, what came to my mind is the only time that when we're growing up, for the most part, the only time we see an alliance within the family is when there is some type of major adversity that we have to get over. Like if someone dies and you got to figure out how to pay the funeral expenses,
yes,
or, you know,
and that doesn't even work out very well.
People exactly
fight over that death. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's things like that, that we are raised with the picture of this is what an alliance is, as opposed to seeing the positive alliances. Because even when there are positive alliances in families, sometimes they are done behind closed doors,
mm-hmm,
and the children don't know about it. It's like, you know, go to your room or go watch TV or something while mom or dad and I talk about some stuff. So you don't understand the dynamics. You don't understand what talking about some stuff is. The first thing you think about as a child when you hear mom and dad are getting ready to talk about some stuff, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. What did I do?
Exactly.
You know, and you don't realize that they may be actually working together to plan your birthday party. That's an alliance, you know. They may,
yeah,
be working together to buy another house.
Uh-huh.
You know, but you don't know this and you don't know the inner workings. Because
shame on them for
parents,
not telling you.
Exactly. But that's what parents do quite often.
Yeah. But I think it also is a spinoff again, because there really wasn't a said alliance that was passed on,
right,
to you. Nothing in the media, nothing,
mm-hmm,
on TV that says,
yeah,
you as a person of color are supposed to be working together in the first place, from that marriage, from that, you know, tight relationship, committed relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, why would we talk that way? Why would we let our kids know that we're really working on this together so they know it at the same time? Hey, we are heading real closely to a PSA. There's a couple of things you want to say. Oh, we're going to go on the other side and talk about some examples of what we can do to work together. Look for you to come back then.
This is a message from the Georgia State Department of Public Health. Right now, federal and state guidelines recommend staying home if possible and limiting time in public places as precautions associated with social distancing. The more we use social distancing techniques, the more we reduce the risk of the virus spreading. This is especially important for older people and those with underlying health conditions who are most vulnerable to the virus. More information can be found at dph.georgia.gov.
You're listening to WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
The fate of the nation is at stake on November 3rd, 2020. It is your right and duty to vote on or before that day. If you are not registered, registration to vote on November 3rd is available in Georgia until October 5th. Registration and voting are simple procedures, and yet they are two of the most important acts that you can take to preserve our democracy. More information can be found at www.vote.org. Disasters don't stop even during a pandemic. The Red Cross is here to help when disasters strike. They respond to a disaster every 8 minutes. They help people to prepare for disasters, and they help prevent disasters such as home fires. The Red Cross saves lives by providing blood. And now, free COVID-19 antibody testing is available when donating blood with the Red Cross. More information about Red Cross services and donating blood can be found at www.redcross.org.
Okay, we are back again, and we are talking about alliances, mutually benefits, having the same feelings or thoughts, doing this, and then doing the same action that will have an advantage for each other. Let's take our time. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. And I think that's one of the important pieces that people overlook. Mm-hmm. Even in relationship, and I guess I should say especially in relationship, the each other part.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard sometimes, I guess, coming from a situation where you have just had to think about and be concerned about yourself, and then it's somebody else, and to make that connection with, not only do I have to be concerned about me, but I have to be concerned about somebody else. And so everything I do needs to be about each other, need to be about us. And that's a transition that is not necessarily, it doesn't come by.
Osmosis, that's one thing for sure.
That's definitely for sure.
Society doesn't necessarily whatsoever through its systems kind to present that to us.
No.
Especially to African-Americans.
Exactly.
And other particular people of color. And also too, but especially African-Americans because of what slavery did and what the systemic racism does.
Mm-hmm.
So the natural direction in relationships starts from being dependent,
mm-hmm,
when you're young, being connected and needed through your parental examples, mother and father,
right,
who are the maker, sometimes a mother and father and father. But anyway, that example is there as your first parental images and examples. And then you move from there on your own to be hopefully taught and hopefully presented that in life, then you need to become what? Independent, to be able to take care of yourself.
Yes. And that's where a lot of people get stuck.
Well, a lot of cultures deal with the independent side by having what they call rites of passages.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of cultures from Africa and other cultures that have rites of passages. In fact, I was studying a book, I can't remember the guy's name, who study the rites of passages in a lot of cultures, especially African culture, and said they had 7 different rites of passages. I think the most rites of passage that we're used to is from toddler stage, child stage, that's toddler stage, to teenage stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Slash young adults.
Yeah.
And then to what, adult stage?
Well,
and
you've got your, okay, for females, mm-hmm, for whatever reason, 16 is a rites of passage time.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, for everybody, it's for most people, it's 16 because you get your driver's license, which means a little bit more freedom.
Okay.
The problem is you don't necessarily know what to do with that freedom.
And I wasn't referring to those very, mm-hmm, light, commercialized,
right,
connected to law rites of,
yeah,
passage that give you rights. I was referring to how to conduct yourself in life,
yes,
in traditional practices that come from other particular cultures, as, mm-hmm, I mentioned the first time, from Africa. In those rites of passages, again, are not those little, the simple ones I said. I was going to stop with the being elders. Everybody knows about the eldership.
Yes.
Except for in Africa, there's 7 rites of passage. It could be more that he was studying. I can't remember. But one thing is for sure, the rites of passage just helped us move, or those who were following that principle, helped us move naturally from being dependent to independent, to the next one that we're talking about, which is interdependence. Again, interdependent. We have interdependencies that we use and are operating in. And there's no doubt about it. We're trying to present the thriving relationship principles as part of that interdependence that we need to present in our relationship. Mm-hmm. Especially, I say, for our Afro-American families and our Afro-American couples, we especially need to look at trying to apply that principle in life, because that's very, very important. What do you think about that, Sharon?
I definitely agree with that, because it's very important that we understand that. And that's one of the things that...
Excuse me. You all right?
Yeah, there's something that stuck in my throat. I think it's called allergies.
Oh, okay.
But it's very important that we are able to move from that independent stage. I can do everything for myself. Well, why should you need to? Especially when you're in relationship. If you're in a thriving relationship, that whole attitude of I can do everything myself, you know, should be something that you don't have to do anymore. And at the same time, it should be something that you both appreciate doing for each other without making somebody feel bad about doing it.
Yes, exactly. And I'm glad how you said that, instead of feeling somebody feel bad about not doing it, because we know in most relationships they're not doing that.
Right.
And so it definitely is the flipping the script, where you should not make someone feel bad in the relationship, but they're trying to ask, let's work together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's try to look at doing things that we think the same, we feel the same, and we can see that at the end of it, or even at the beginning, that we're working in such a way where we both get something out of it, which is what interdependence is.
Right.
In fact, I think we talked about interdependence. We're going to go into that. Interdependence is definitely about what we both can do. Excuse me, is something that we could not do by ourselves, that we both do together, but it has a mutual ending to it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about through the power of synchronicity, that it has to do with 2 or 3 people can come together and turn, end up with much more than what they did before.
Right.
I think Albert Einstein came up with that theory of MC2 equals, I can't remember the rest of it.
Yeah, MC squared, whatever. I used to know
that. The bottom line is
inside
that,
out.
That you could take a little bit of elements M and equals, get a whole bunch of energy out of that.
E so equals MC squared.
Exactly.
I knew.
So that's the same thing that we have to understand in our relationship. If we work together and we're on the same mind thought, on the same wavelength, if we're harmonizing together, ooh, let me use that.
Yes.
Harmonizing together in sync. Boy, what we can do and turn get out of it for both of us.
That's like yesterday. And without saying any names or places or anything like that.
Okay.
Yesterday, we ended up at a place that we had never been before. And you got out of the car and started talking to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I got out of the car with you because I wanted to see what was going to happen too. I was interested.
Okay.
And we were standing there, bugs eating us up.
Oh, they were eating you up, because the bugs don't bother me much down here. I don't know what that's all about.
I was a buffet, as always.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is...
And my, what a brunch you was.
Oh, gosh, yes. But the thing of it is, we were standing there and we were talking to this gentleman. And we were so caught up in it and what he was saying and the fact that we were there. That it just hit me to turn around and tell you to record.
Yes.
And because of that, we have something that was, because we were on the same page at that particular moment.
Well, you moved me on the same page by reminding me that since we both like history, so we'll give a little bit of overstanding in this, that we both like history. We're history kind of buffs in our own way, more hobby-like history couples. And we especially like history that has to do with our history, African-American history.
And history spoken from the mouths of people who experienced it.
Exactly. And so we were talking to an 87-year-old guy here in Richmond Hill who has history that goes way back. And he was just sharing with us such dynamic history. I was awestruck that he was going to talk to us. And so I forgot about the very principle that you and I talked about, making sure we record this for history purposes. And you just kind of looked at me and kind of mouthed, put on the recording.
Yeah.
And I first looked at Lee like, then I said, okay, let me get the recording on. And we got that recorded. And what an adventure that was.
Oh, I'm telling you.
It was an adventure of a lifetime to listen to.
That was definitely a journey that, you know, in the many journeys that we've had. But it was mutually beneficial, not only to, you know, right now to us, but in the long run, it'll be so mutually beneficial to others
that we're going to try to present to this particular community.
Yeah.
A well-needed presentation that needs to be in this community because the need that they need to have more exposure of the great history that they actually have here. So that's one of the activities, since we're talking about activities that are under the idea or the glue of alliance that has to do with same feelings and same thoughts that turn into action that we both love to do in a relationship. So that I'm like how you just went right into that activity, because we definitely love doing that more.
Yes.
What's another one you got on the list here?
Back sticking to the same history level, I guess you could say, that going to museums. When we go out of town, one of the first things that we do, especially as we are exploring the Southeastern corridor, we look for African American museums, African American places of history, and we go to them. You know, we don't take the trolley tours and the, you know, the bus tours and all that other stuff that you know they have for the tourist industry.
Well, yes, we did. We took a tour with Brother Jamal.
No. Yes,
we took a tour with him on day clean.
We've done that several times. I'm talking when we go out of town.
Oh, okay.
When we go out of town, we find these places that are not on the natural tourist route.
Okay. Yeah. We definitely don't like to take the tourist route. They want to take too much of our money anyway.
Yeah.
Some places we go to, they're like always begging us to death. And we were told by one particular individual that we know when we do our thing on River Street, who's from some of these islands that you go to as tourists. And she said, yeah, I know about them. They've been for years and years. And she even named some of the families. They do that as their hustle. That's the way they make a living. And I know it could be annoying because I know their family and they're annoying even why we're there. So I was like, okay, because they get on my nerves, but I don't have no problem saying no to them. They certainly are some serious hustlers, for real.
But as we go through the Southeast corridor here, you know, if we don't go off on our own, we're going to get the same canned history that we get in school, the same canned history that is on a lot of places in the internet if you don't search deep enough.
Yes.
You know, it's the same old, as we used to say.
It's the same thing.
Yes. And so what we do is we go out and we search on our own and we find, you know, different places and spiritual places and places of history that have the true documentation of what went on. Or at least a different version than what we get.
I would say, giving you an example, when we went to, was it Jamaica? Virgin Island, which one was it?
I think you're probably talking about Jamaica.
It was Jamaica. We went there, and I remember how when we actually interfaced with people that live there. Indigenous people that live there. I'm sorry, I don't know why the word just stuck in my mind, because I'm thinking about the young guy, a young brother that picked us up to do the vacationing.
Yes.
Somehow, in some way, he said to us, I can tell you don't want to do the usual vacation route.
Right.
I mean, he just saw that because we were just knocking off all these guys and gals and young folks who were trying to get us to go here and go there and buy this and buy that. And he pulled up. He just came out and told me that and was that.
And
he was right.
And all the tourists were going right and we were going left.
Exactly.
I still remember his name.
What's his name?
Marvin Gaye.
And there was no Marvin Gaye.
Yes, it was.
Really?
His name was Marvin Gaye. I remember it because of the singer, Marvin Gaye.
Wow. Yeah. Ain't that something? We have to look him up again because he took us to places in Jamaica that most of the usual tourists wouldn't go. Mm-hmm. I remember we went to a favorite indigenous
store,
a grocery store,
yeah.
And he went in and got me a red beer, which they have there, and got you some. What was that pop?
It was
Squid. I think it was called
it was Squirt or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't remember. It was good.
It was good.
It was good.
Yeah. That was real cool.
And then this was the mm-hmm. great thing was when he took us to a restaurant for lunch mm-hmm. that he and his family goes to.
Exactly.
So it wasn't just the tourist trap kind of mm-hmm. place. It was where, you know, you got the true food that people who grow up there and live there mm-hmm. find to be good.
Exactly. And then remember before we went down into the market area where folks that live there go to the market mm-hmm. area that most tourist people wouldn't go to. So we're talking about an everyday place that people in Jamaica go to
right.
and do their thing. He took us up in the mountains, remember?
I do remember.
To some areas up in the mountains, mm-hmm. and we saw some young guys who start doing a whole bunch of flipping in front of
dancing and stuff on stilts.
That was different.
And that comes mm-hmm. under the heading of some of the other activities or examples of mutual of having mutual
benefits.
The vacations we plan.
Yeah.
You know, we plan vacations that mm-hmm. we're both interested in, mm-hmm. That we can both get something out of and enjoy, not to mention the memories on the back
end
of it.
And then when we're on the ground, we're both traveling together.
Yes.
Because we both have the same mind thought and the same feelings about what we want to see.
Yeah.
And I notice when we do that, something manifests.
Exactly.
Right out of nowhere.
Exactly.
Like this guy that came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
And took us where he wanted to. He didn't even ask for much. I had to give him a big tip. Because he said he lived up in the mountains.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
With his family out in the mountains. Mm-hmm. And he comes down once in a while.
And comes down
to do this tour.
Yeah.
I remember when he also took us to that marketplace. Man, what a market. They had a whole bunch of Jamaican folks. There was no tourists in that marketplace.
Where the waterfall was.
Well, that was the other one. But I was going, okay, you can go ahead and talk about it. Because I just remember the marketplace, that everybody was in the marketplace buying the food and
right.
stuff. There was no tourists in
there.
Oh,
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, that was too cool. He said, this is where Jamaicans come and buy and sell stuff that tourists don't know anything about. This is the marketplace.
Yes.
I was so excited. I don't think I even took a picture because I was like, couldn't
I know.
Believe what
I saw. It was great. It reminded me of life in Panama. That was a great memory there.
It was.
But
I see it today right now.
Yeah, but it was so real,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that it was one of those things that. It's one of those memories that we will always have.
Exactly. Okay, now you were going to go into that last memory because that was a very spiritual, uplifting memory, if you remember that.
Yeah, that started off as something that was not favorable at all.
You're going to talk about the part because I remember it myself right
yes.
now.
Yeah. When we drove up, there were people who were mm-hmm. Trying to they had their work set up that they had made and everything and just hoping that somebody might come by.
They're like micro vendors.
Exactly.
Little small,
exactly.
No 10 by 10 tables.
No,
nothing
set up on cardboard.
Exactly.
And so when we drove up, the police were there
mm-hmm.
and they were just taking the people's things and just throwing
Tossing them.
Yeah. Just,
wow.
just
throwing them like
across the
nothing.
Street and just, you know,
wow.
just completely, you know, some of it was breaking.
And
some of it wasn't.
They were brother officers.
Yeah.
Down
they
there.
Were Jamaicans. You know,
they
it was,
were
it was
just
all the same
that stuff. And they, I'm not gonna cut you off, but I just remember, as you said, talking about same thoughts
yes.
and same feelings. They were doing it because they wanted to give the appearance to us, a tourist, that this stuff doesn't happen. I was offended.
And so,
I was seriously offended.
Right. They didn't want us to see that there was that poor side of, you know, I mean, come on, you know.
I didn't understand that. That was crazy.
And so our driver told us, he said, you know,
because we were right in the mess.
Yes.
In the mix. Because remember when we stopped at that guy with that chair that they toppled over, and we could see him do, and the officers just looked at us like, yeah, we gonna do about it?
One of them had a makeshift table that they broke. And
we were close.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely close as could be when it happened.
Yeah. And so he told us to stay put, you know, and he said, I'm going to go talk to him.
Yeah, he got out.
And so he got out and he went up and he talked to him. He said, look, this is not looking good I've got tourists in my car and what you're doing is not looking good for them. And he just pretty much talked to them in terms that they could understand, but at the same time set it up so that they would leave the people alone.
Yes.
And so they left.
Think about it for a minute. That was a time we actually did an international
intervention.
Intervention. Because we complained to him so much, he actually stopped the van. Now I remember.
Yeah.
And went out and talked to those officers and used the power of us being a tourist to stop a terrorist, to stop them from doing what they were doing
to those people. Yeah.
To, not all people, but you know, people.
Yeah. I mean, to those people that were sitting up right there.
Yeah.
And so when they left, we got out. And we started walking through where they had different things set up further back.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up at the most beautiful, peaceful, serene waterfall.
Wow.
That was just so amazing. Talk about a hidden treasure.
It was. It felt like you just got to going through the curtain of the trouble we saw to a place, a paradise.
Mm-hmm.
It was unbelievable. You could feel. I mean, you could feel, it's like sometimes people say they can feel the dark, or they can feel, you know, the spirit of somebody, if you may want to say, they feel the spirit of the game, and everybody feeling good about it. Well, you could feel the peace and tranquility, and the water was sounding so good. It wasn't really all that hot there, too.
Right.
That was unbelievable. Now, what did he tell us that, what was that place actually, too, which is why we felt that?
You go ahead. I'm going to let you tell this one, because go ahead.
Okay, he told us that was actually a spiritual place that they used to as a place of blessing that they came.
Yeah.
And every day would be a place that they would cleanse themselves so that the spirit in that place would bless them. And we could actually feel that spirit and that blessing. But what, I'm not going to go on because I know what you're going to talk about.
But what
was the difference? Well, no, you shouldn't be done because you know the rest part. Because what happened after that was nothing for at least Sharon and I. Very spiritual and touching after we brought that up to him and he repeated that back to us. Do you remember what happened next?
You're talking about when he made the, gave us the little,
and what was behind that?
I shouldn't have done that. But
that's right.
He gave us the little figurines that were a representation of us with a little blessing. And
exactly.
It was a different experience.
You forgot. He also said your spirits have been here before. And you are a king and a queen. That's who you two are. And today you are being blessed from our ancestors for you being here. Now, I don't know if this young man has said this before. I don't know if this was a tourist thing to make us feel good. I didn't really think so.
I don't. Well,
he seemed to be very sincere, not just disingenuous. But it was a spiritual moment for you and I that I know you haven't forgotten.
Oh, gosh, no. And it was like, because standing there, I felt like I felt like I had been there before.
Yes.
It was such a nice experience.
It was absolutely beautiful.
It was.
It's like time just stood still, didn't it?
Yeah.
And people were just not moving fast at all.
It was so great. I didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
I wanted you to stay there for a lot longer, but we couldn't because we were, you know, we had to get back and everything. But yeah, it was really, really an experience that was like 8 or 9 years ago.
Exactly.
And it's still with us.
One thing is for sure, when you walk in alliance, have the same feelings and the same thoughts, then instantaneously that thing called the now, the present, comes into existence.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody or nothing else seems to be able to touch you. You forget all right. about time because you are actually in the now. And there's one thing that we want to leave with you before we go in, or let's say get ready for our next time, is when we get up, we should focus on each and other first. When we do that, it will give us the ability to be on the same page
all day. Yes.
All day.
And that is what keeps you moving together on that journey.
Thank you. God bless.
Take care. You have been listening to Taking the Journey Together on WRUU. We hope we left you with some information to smooth your relationship journey. If you have any relationship questions that you'd like us to explore, send us an email to ttjt@takingthejourney-together.com. Or post on Facebook at www.facebook.com/TTJTogether.
Until next Saturday at 9 a.m., enjoy your journey together. The viewpoints expressed in the preceding program were not necessarily those of WRUU, its license holder, or its staff.